It is good to be able to be here. Always a blessing to preach the word and preach the gospel. And I'm going to ask you to take your Bible, and we'll be looking at a few verses of scripture. Not going to jump around all over the Old or New Testament, though. And I would like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. But the scriptures that we're looking at this morning are mostly, they're all in the New Testament. And mostly it will be in the book of Revelation. And, you know, I've been thinking a great deal about heaven. And probably the reason being because last Thanksgiving time, I had the most special person in my life leave and go to heaven. I look forward to the day of seeing her again. I never thought that life could really be so brutal as to take one that I love so very dearly. And I'm going to speak to you this morning about heaven. Not only because I enjoy the subject of heaven, but I think you do also. And I was thinking about it, and when the preacher asked me, I immediately said to myself, I hadn't gotten up the stairs yet, because we were over on the other side of the building. And when he asked me, the first thought I had was, yes, I'll speak. I'd be glad to do it. And I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And I thought I'd use this text because it had been on my heart. And I thought I would use it this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9 are these words. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God's in the preparing business. And now in your Bibles, don't lose this place, but turn before that two or three books to the book of John chapter 14. And this is one of my very favorite verses of Scripture in John 14. And I would say this, that's probably the favorite verse of a lot of people. Chapter 14 and verse 1, John's Gospel, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Did you have a troubled heart today? There's no doubt that some of you have. I'm sure that Janice Allen has, with the death in the family of someone so young and tender, 13 years of age, am I right on that age? 13 years of age, passed away, asthmatic attack, very, very difficult situation, very difficult time to lose somebody so precious and so special. Some of you have a troubled heart. Maybe it's not the same reason. I speaking the other evening for a while with Brother Dell, and he's getting ready to go in the hospital the next day, and I'm sure even though he was handling it very well, and Dell Daniels, you look great for what you've been through, and what the surgeon at, it was Beaumont Royal Oak, is that correct? We had that surgery done, you're back in church this morning. You told me you were going to come on Sunday morning. I thought to myself, he's crazy. Don't tell him I said that, though. But he is here this morning. A lot of people have troubled hearts for a lot of reasons. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where'd he go? Well, he went to heaven to prepare a place for us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Some years ago, when Rosemary and I were still getting around doing some of the hiking trips that we enjoyed doing, we were in the state of Maine. We'd been there one time before and decided we wanted to go back and see the sunrise over the Atlantic Ocean. And I guess this is 15 or 18 years ago, and we went to Bar Harbor after going through New Hampshire. Beautiful states. And of course, the only time for us to go was the first week of October. So you can just visualize how pretty the place really is. And we were standing on the top of Cadillac Mountain. Now, compared to the Rockies, Cadillac Mountain is not near so high. But looked out over at the Atlantic, could see Bar Harbor, could see all the rocks, or many, many, many of the rocks along the coast of Maine, and we stood there talking, just kind of gasping at the beauty of it. Too far away from us, there was somebody standing, and they made this remark. I don't know whether they were making it to us or to somebody else who was near them. It's, my, oh, my, this is like heaven on earth. I thought at the time, having heard that, it is pretty. It is nice. The sunrise is as beautiful in the east as the sunset is in the west. And as we sat there, or stood there rather, that's what we did, we stood there. I know my thoughts were not so, never. Never can earth duplicate what heaven is. But you and I who are believers, we have the promise of God here in John 14, and also that one, and let me read it again from 1 Corinthians if you kept your place. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. What is heaven like? What is it really like? And when I went home a Friday after the things had been done that I could help participate in, I got to thinking about some scriptures, and I began to think about heaven. Having had the personal experience of knowing somebody for 61 years of married life, precious person that she was, I know that just recently I've had somebody enter that place. Well, let me tell you some things that heaven is. And I don't know that I can duplicate as emphatically the way the scriptures duplicate them, but I want them to be a blessing to you. And I want to say, first of all, heaven is a light without darkness. Now, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation. Last book of the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. It won't be too hard to find because that's, I think, is the last chapter in the Bible. Revelation chapter 22. What is heaven like? Well, let's read chapter 22 and verse 5. Verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. There shall be no night there, no darkness. My mind went back a dozen years or so, maybe 10, 11 years ago to the time. Remember that blackout we had? I know we had it here in this area. It started in northeastern Ohio, over by that long panhandle of Pennsylvania that comes up and separates eastern Ohio from New York State. And there was a blackout, and it covered Ohio and Pennsylvania, and New York, and Michigan, and other areas of the Northeast. Several days, some people experienced it. I'm glad that we don't have blackouts all the time because it's kind of enjoyable having lights. We have electricity in here. You come in, the lights are on. Not only do you have that, you have the air conditioning, and I think that's all very great, but to have the light. In heaven, there is no darkness. Are you prepared for it? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? You ponder that thought and give thought to that and consider it this morning. What is heaven really like? Well, I'd like to tell you something else. Not only is heaven light without darkness, but heaven is blessing without cursing. And in your Bible here, I would ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 2, again, right where you are, and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. Now, let's talk about that in just a moment. But let me read and finish that verse of Scripture. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. When Adam and Eve were on the earth and God placed them here in the beautiful Garden of Eden, I say it's beautiful based on what I've heard over the years and based on what the scriptures say and based on what I've heard preachers preach And preachers could never preach anything wrong, could they? And in that place of the beautiful garden, and God told them what to do and what not to do, but, you know, being human, and Satan was came along in the form of a serpent and tempted them. And we know what Eve did, and we know what Adam did. They forsook the commandment that God gave them, and there was a fourfold curse pronounced upon the earth. All you have to do is read about it in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. There was a curse upon the serpent. Now, I don't like snakes. I don't want to be around snakes. When Rosemary and I, the many times we either took our family to the zoo, the Detroit Zoo, and we go to the area of the building where the snakes were, I call it the Snakatorium. I know that's not the right name. When I went in the Army many years ago and spent some time in Alabama before I went overseas, they told us the first thing they did when we got to Fort Rucker, Alabama, they said, you got to be careful. We have a lot of water moccasins. Even at that time, as a young 21-year-old soldier, I didn't like snakes. The curse was pronounced upon them, crawl on their belly. Wherever they go, they crawl on their belly. They don't get up and walk with four legs. See, one of the curses upon the earth was the snake. Another curse was a man. God cursed man, said he'd earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. That's why you sweat, fellas, especially when you work hard. There was a judgment pronounced upon the women. And that is, and you mothers can understand this more than anyone else in this auditorium. If you went through childbearing and it was very difficult, you can blame Eve for it. You can blame Adam for it. They sinned in the garden. And God pronounced that curse upon the woman that she would bear children in pain. Then there was a curse upon the earth itself. That's why your rose bushes have needles. You think about it. There was a fourfold curse. That's why you have to constantly dig out the weeds from the garden. And isn't it amazing how they grow in the sidewalk, between the cracks of the sidewalk? And the fourfold curse was pronounced upon the earth. But there's going to be the blessings instead of the cursings in Revelation 22, and as I said in verse 3, and there shall be no more curse. You know, when God comes back, when Jesus comes to get us, and I don't know when that's going to be, it might possibly be before this day is over. I think it'd be wonderful. Of course, I know there are many people who don't want that to happen today. But what is heaven like? Well, it's light without darkness. And heaven is blessing without cursing. And heaven is singing without crying. I regret. I think one of the real things that I regret in my life, not the marriage that I had with Rosemary, but the many times that she would ask me when she was singing at home or while we were driving somewhere, and she was always singing. She'd say, sing with me, Ted, you know the song. And whether it was whatever favorite song is yours, she could sing it. And heaven is going to be a place of singing and not crying. Do you ever cry? Sure you do. I sense cries and tears sometimes in people when they come and tell me about a death that they've had in the family. Or they call on the telephone. I can understand why Janice Allen would have tears over this situation that has developed in her house. I think back, Jean McLean, it was about this time 2 years ago, I think, where you got the message that your grandson in Afghanistan had been killed by stepping on a landmine or some such thing. Kyle's passing was devastating to you. You had right to cry. You think back and you look at the things that happen in our lives, and indeed there are reasons that we do cry and we shed tears. And in this scripture, heaven is going to be a place where singing and not crying. Heaven is going to be a place indeed when we sing the joyful songs. Look at verse 4 of chapter 21, Revelation 21. And verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Notice this, neither sorrow nor crying. No more sorrow, folks. And you've all gone through sorrow. had a pastor friend, very close friend of ours many years ago. Matter of fact, I sat on his ordination council when he, Jack Spitzer, over at the First Baptist Church in Westland was ordained. He had heart problems. He ended up having a heart transplant. And Rosemary and I went to see him, and while we were there, Don Gregory and his wife, Joyce, came in, and the four of us were there along with Jack's wife, Betty. And we were going to get ready to pray, and Jack said, "Would you sing to me?" By the way, he wasn't talking to me. He was talking to the group. "What do you want to hear, Jack?" And he said, "Maybe you could sing on Zion's Hill." And Betty, his wife, and Joyce, and Don Gregory, and Rosemary, and I stood there, and we began to sing on Zion's Hill. "The waits for me are glad tomorrow." My friend, is there a glad tomorrow waiting for you? Now you come to church, and maybe everybody around you thinks you're a Christian, but are you really? Do you live that testimony of that life? One of these days, God's going to be able to wipe away the tears. You know, heaven is a wonderful place. Again, I refer to Rosemary. The last song she sang here at church was part of a medley. The last song she sang before she really came down sick with this cancer. Heaven is a wonderful place, full of glory and grace. I want to see my Father's, my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Do you have that hope? I personally would hope that you do. What is heaven? Well, what's it really like? According to the Word of God, it's a place of light without darkness. It's a place of blessing without cursing. It's a place of singing without crying. Brother Steve, maybe when we get to heaven, and if you get a chance of leading that great choir of millions upon millions, maybe you'll let me sing in that choir. Would you do that? All the others would drown me out, I'm sure. But I'm looking forward to some of the things on the other side. I don't know, as I look back and think of the hundreds of funerals that I've conducted, some were close to 700. At least 200 of those, my wife sang. She was usually asked. She never did it for remuneration. She never received anything for it. She did it because she loved to do it. And I think back and look at the time and realize what a wonderful thing it was that we have in the Lord and what a blessing we have. How many times she would sing the various songs. One that was particularly a favorite of a lot of people is a marvelous song that all of us have sung at some time or another. And we know the glory and we know the wonder of it in the sweet by and by. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. Do you have that waiting for you? Do you have the promise of that? You see, Jesus Christ died to prepare a place for us. Remember the scripture I read to you in John chapter 14? Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. I'm not asking you if you're religion or if you're religious. I'm not asking you if you're a Protestant or a Catholic or a Baptist or whatever. Are you a Christian? Are you saved? If you knew that this was your last day on earth, are you ready to stand before God? Make no mistake about this. Whether it's on Zion's Hill, or whether it's in the sweet by and by, or whether it's what a friend we have in Jesus, are you ready for Him? See, when we think about heaven, it's light without darkness. It's a blessing without cursing. It's singing without crying. It's satisfaction without hunger. If you will, please, look in your Bible with me at Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, and then if you will, please, verse 16. Revelation 7 and verse 16, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them." Now notice that, nor any heat. In other words, the Lord is going to have a place for us, satisfaction, A lot of hungry people in the world. The big hurricane that struck Haiti about 5 years ago. And they estimate between a million and 2 million people died, not of the hurricane, but of hunger. I read in the paper just the other day that there are between 25 and 30 million people in America. Now, I don't know how accurate this is, but between 25 and 30 million people in America go to bed every night hungry. Are there that many? I don't know. But I'm sure wherever it is. I got back to Japan about 6 years after the end of World War II. And when I came to Yokohama and Tokyo and spent the balance of several months there before I finally came home to the States, I saw a lot of hunger. These people in Japan that really suffered from the dropping of atom bombs on Nagasaki and the other town, whatever. And the fact of the matter is 120 or 30,000 were killed one time, another 100,000 another time on the dropping of the atom bomb. Plus many, many countless scores of people that died as a result of the B-29 bombings daily, sending over 1,000 planes a day over that particular place, and many of the people were still scrounging for food on the streets of Yokohama and Tokyo, and that's 1951. When you stop and you think about this matter of hunger, most of us go to bed not hungry. You may have had an experience in your life where you were low on food, but most of us today, we don't have that problem. Heaven is going to be a place, though, where there's total satisfaction. There'll be no more hungering. When you consider and stop and think about this matter of what heaven is like, what's it really like? Well, I think it's light without darkness, and I've shown you the scripture. It's a blessing without cursing. Heaven is a place of singing without crying. I'm looking forward to that aspect of it. I like to be able to sing. Maybe on the other side, that'll be taken care of. It's satisfaction without hunger. It's service without weariness. We all get weary, don't we? You get weary at times, difficult at times. Revelation 22, if you will, in verse 3. Revelation 22, and I'm going to read to you verse 3 and give you time to find it. Thank you for being patient with me. I had it, but I lost the place, but now we've got it. Revelation 22 and verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And by the way, earlier in the service, Brother Mark, when he was reading some scripture, made reference to some Greek words. The Greek word here for that word service is worship. That's an interesting thing, and we're going to be worshiping him. We come to church now. You don't come here to worship the pastor. Let's hope not. I don't think Pastor Paul would want that of you. I certainly never wanted it in the years that I was here. We don't worship the pastor. We don't worship the altar, the flowers, the piano, the organ, or those who play the instruments, or those who sing in the choir. But the day is coming where we are going to worship him. And notice this, worship is without weariness. Without weariness. No longer being weary. Thank God for that time when we will get to be with him and we will not have to worry about being weary. You know, we all get weary about things in life. The time will come. I'll tell you a little bit of a story. You don't know about this, but before Rosemary went into the hospital the last time, for 3 months, she was so weary she couldn't even go up from the lower level. We live in a tri-level house down the street here on Canal and Leslie. And tri-level, that means you have one level here, one level here, and one level here. And for the last 3 months of her life, she couldn't even get upstairs from the lower level. I've never said that to you, and most of you didn't know that. And she'd sleep on the couch downstairs. or the tilt-back chair, and I'd get her meal for her and bring her meals to her because she couldn't make it upstairs to the kitchen. It became very difficult and very trying, very hard for her. Weary. But she isn't weary today. Heaven is a place where we'll not be weary. And according to the Word of God, we'll have time to serve Him and worship Him. And as you think back about life and the times that you've been weary, and some of you folks have gone through a lot of weary times, I think immediately here, Terry Miller and the difficulty she's had with hip replacement and the problem of having to have it done again and the time of illness that she experienced and the time when her husband, who was so sick with MS disease and laid in a bed in the front room of her house for I don't know how long, Terry, until he finally went home to be with the Lord. But it wasn't easy for Carl back in those days. You've all gone through weariness. You've shed tears, heartache, grief, trials, burdens. But the time is coming. Heaven is a place. No darkness, no curse, no crying, no hunger, no weariness. And then finally, heaven is a place of life without death. We all think about death. We know it's going to happen and we know it's going to come unless the Lord comes back. Back to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes and there shall be no more death. Job is a character out of the Bible. Job, his wife, Mrs. Job, I don't know what her name was really because the Bible doesn't tell us. They had 10 children. All 10 of them died. Time of no more death. Most of you who have been here any length of time will remember indeed Mrs. Blevins. She and her husband had 8 children. He died in a coal mine. 4 of their children died. Last 2 died when a drunk hit 2 of them riding on a motorcycle. The one that was driving the motorcycle was 18 or 19, and his brother was 12 or 14. I can't remember the exact years. They were hit by a drunk driver in a pickup truck, hit them and killed them both instantly. No more death in heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. It's full of glory and grace. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Have you told your friends about it? Have you told your family about it? Heaven is a wonderful place. The 5 Sullivan brothers grew up in Waterloo, Iowa. They joined the Navy all about the same time in 1942, just after the start of World War II. All 5 of the Sullivan brothers were in the Navy together. They took training together. They boarded the same ship together, and they sailed in the Pacific Ocean in their fighting against the Japanese. When their ship was hit, all 5 of them died. If you date back that far, or you've ever heard it before, it will tug at your heart. I don't know anything at all about the family from Waterloo, even though Rosemary and I were out in Oskaloosa many times over the years because her family had a farm out there. My friend, are you ready? Let me ask you this. Are you ready for heaven? I would hope so. We're going to stand together and sing a song of invitation. I'm not exactly sure what it is. I don't have the note in front of me or the bulletin, but I'll let that be explained when Brother Stephen comes up here and tells us what it's going to be. Brother Stephen, as you come up here with the pastor, and I'll turn the service over to both of you. What are we singing, Steve?
379.
Pastor Stephen is going to lead us in 379, and what is the title of it? Almost persuaded. Are you almost persuaded? Maybe there's somebody on your heart. And I'm not one of those people that ever gave long, drawn-out invitations. And I'll turn over to Pastor Paul in just a moment. He doesn't do that either. But maybe you'd like to come this morning to pray for yourself and maybe your family, your loved one. Or maybe you have a spouse that isn't saved. You're concerned about your husband or your wife. My, what a marvelous thing it is to have that promise of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless the service. to its conclusion. Thank you for the promise of heaven, the promise of your love, the promise of all that you've done for us. Thank you, Father, for all of your mercy in Jesus' name, and save sinners. And as we heard the old preacher say one time, save that sinner who's nearest hell today. Thank you in Jesus' name.